Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. This morning we're visiting with an old friend and somebody people have been asking about, and that's Denise O'Brien. Good morning to you, Denise.
Good morning, LaVon.
Well, lots of people have been asking, as I'm sure you know, that folks want to know what's going on. You've been home now for a little bit on R&R.
Mm-hmm. Right, rest and relaxation, and I've certainly been doing that, and I leave to go back in a week.
And for those of you who don't know, she's going to Afghanistan, where she's been for about 3 months. And I guess in one way it seems to me a long time, Denise, but it's a pretty short time in terms of what you're trying to do and all the things there are to learn.
Right. I feel like I'm still in the learning stages. And at this point in the time that I've been there, 3 months, which seems short to me in a way, That I think it's about personal growth right now, and me learning about what my work is to be done there, and figuring out what the culture is and where I fit into helping and what my program will be, working with women in agriculture, horticulture, or poultry growing, whatever.
And, of course, you are part, in a way, of the military. You are a civilian, but part of the military. But you're also out there with the Afghans in their culture. So to mix that all together would seem to me quite a challenge.
Yeah, it is. When I go out in the communities, there's things that I've noticed. And one thing, and I think most everybody who's read Three Cups of Tea or know about the culture there, tea is very important, and I've come to find out tea is important because it's important to boil the water so you don't drink contaminated water, so everybody can drink tea, and they're very gracious about serving you tea. So I've had tea everywhere from on a little stove in a little room to out in a chicken house, and the teapot sits on the chicken house floor. So
yes. And people carry their teapots with them?
They're all available everywhere, and you see when you drive down the street in the vehicles that I am, you can see teapots, hanging in the marketplace and just everywhere. And so that is very critical to their life.
Okay. So I have a feeling when you are back to stay that we're going to be asking you to do some programs, and there might be a program just on teapots and learning all about tea. What about the flavor of the tea? Is that unique?
No, it's green tea, and I'm a green tea drinker, and so it fits very well. It's a very tasteful tea. It doesn't taste like a black Lipton tea or whatever, or Earl Grey or anything. It's just a nice-tasting green tea.
Okay, so you've been enjoying that. I was privileged to see in a lot of the photographs that you've taken, and you've found another, in a way, colorless landscape. You found color in a number of different places.
Oh, the doors of the compounds. There's walls everywhere in Afghanistan. There's walls within walls, and one way that people set themselves apart are through their doors. And you see merchants on the street with doors that they're painted gold and blue and purple, and they've got gold painting on them, like a detailing they do. And that is, it's really, when you look at pictures from the air that I've been lucky to take from helicopters, you can see this splash of color in this barren land.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what about greenery, again, because unless the water is provided, it's a pretty dry landscape. So have you seen many trees, flowers, other kinds of plants?
When I flew in from Kabul into the eastern Afghanistan, where I am in Nangarhar province near Jalalabad, I was amazed by the greenery. And at the time I flew in April, the winter wheat was just turning green, just coming up. And so the valley, which is in between two rivers, the Kabul River and the Kunar River, was just lush with green, and I was really, really surprised. And then I get to where I'm living, the base, the forward operating base, or FOB, as everybody calls it. There's a gardener there that mows the lawn and has flowers that I have in my own garden here, and so I felt right at home.
Yeah, kind of nice of a welcoming home kind of thing. Let's talk about the women, because, again, we see pictures, we hear lots of things about how women can't do this, can't do that, and also let's start though with the dress code of the women.
Yeah, Well, they wear, people know about burqas and have seen that women wear this covering that goes from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. And there's a screen. When I first saw these, it was like I was trying to see these women's eyes, and there's really no way you can. It's sort of a mesh.
A one-way kiss.
Yeah, right. And then under that, they wear that out in public so people don't see them. And then when they get into their compounds or they get into meetings, they take the burqas off, and they have beautiful clothing, and it's very colorful, like the doors I was just talking about, and sequins and beads and exquisite color. And then some women will go without a veil, and other women will cover their face up to their nose and down to their eyes, so you just see their eyes, and even inside at meetings and things. So, and I haven't quite come to understand exactly what the difference is about women wearing full covering and not. And some of it has to do with a liberated woman, and some of it has to do with urban-rural, like we have here, I think.
And we're wondering if it has something to do with age, because none of the little girls, of course, wear this kind of covering.
Yeah, exactly. The little girls, and as we've been talking, I've been thinking, now I've got to go back and ask that question about at what age do young girls start covering themselves? Because I'm working with a 19-year-old woman who really doesn't, is, and she tells me her father is quite liberal and lets her travel by herself because the women have to be accompanied by a male. And that her father is very progressive as a male, so that it varies.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And as a woman in Afghanistan, your life, of course, is very different than the Afghanis. But can you go where you want to, when you want to, by yourself?
No, I can't. I have to go accompanied by 20 soldiers with M4s, and so it puts a bit of a barrier between me and people. Although people, when we stop to talk to villagers, or I go into a compound, and the men can't go into where the women, the American soldiers can't go into where the Afghan women are, so that gives me the privilege of being able to do that. So I can go in there, but I still have to wear my helmet and my my body armor, and that's a 35-pound really hot item to wear, but it protects me, and I appreciate having the soldiers and appreciate having the protection, but it does put some barriers up. And I live on 15 acres with about 700 or 800 people, and here in Iowa I live on 15 acres with one other person and a couple dogs and a few cats, so it's really, really different in the lifestyle.
And we could certainly talk a lot more about lifestyle. Let's just mention food, because, again, you're living on a base. I assume you're eating lots of American food.
I am. I can. There's an Afghan restaurant on the base, and I can eat there for a couple dollars. And it's usually chicken and rice and okra and tomatoes and whatever the current vegetable that's growing. And chicken is pretty much the main meat. And that, and I'm going to take pictures of that so you can see how their meals are prepared compared to what I eat in the mess hall, in the dining facility. I just have the best of everything. And in fact, I tell people on Friday nights, every Friday night, we have steak and lobster if we want. And the steak, they grill the steak outside on a grill, and so the smell just wafts through the base, and it makes you really, your mouth salivate for it. But you have to be very disciplined, because they have every kind of meat, they have every kind of fried food, they have every kind of egg, they have waffles and bacon, and it's just like going into a cafeteria. And so I'm trying to stick with a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables and my fiber, my oatmeal, and that sort of thing, and not get too carried off, because they've got tons of desserts too.
Yeah.
So
everything you could ever want and more. Yes. One last short question, because I know not everything is for sure, but just real quickly, what kind of project are you going to be working on when you go back?
Well, before I left, we were talking about working at this Women's Resource Center that has been built by with American money, that's been sitting empty for a few months, and so we're trying to work with the Director of Women's Affairs, Dawa, they call her, and to utilize that building in some way that will benefit women. So if it's a place for women within the walls of the compound can come and relax and have tea. They've talked about having a spa even, and also a place to market their goods and to be a marketplace that can showcase women's products of the embroidery and the stitching that they do and that sort of thing. So I'm really hoping to see that evolve. And one of the plans is to landscape the area using women to landscape and to have training classes for women in landscaping. So I think we can accomplish some things that way.
Okay, we'll be looking forward to a report, Denise, as you get back and do some of your work in Afghanistan. We wish you the best. Be safe. And I'm not even going to tell you to be cool, although you're in air conditioning all the time, so I guess we can say that. And thank you very much for visiting with us. And as I say, lots of people are thinking about you.
Thank you.
Till next time, here's a thought. Emotions arise when beliefs are challenged.